Take your Bibles tonight. Open up with me, if you would, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, and also your outlines tonight. Proverbs chapter 18 this evening, as we begin a brand new study, word on the street is, and just a way to introduce gossip. Before we get into that tonight, WMD, what do those letters mean to you? Weapons of mass destruction. In 2003, President Bush used that phrase to justify going into Iraq. I had never heard that phrase, and the way that the media spun things, I thought that was a phrase he had invented to describe the findings over there. I was surprised as I started studying for tonight's message and looking for this illustration, he didn't coin that phrase. And in fact, it wasn't that recent of a phrase at all. The first time that's recorded as being used was in 1937 by a fellow by the name of Cosmo Gordon Lang, the Archbishop of Canterbury, in reference to the aerial bombardment of, and I don't know if I'm saying this right, but Guernica, Spain. And he talked about the weapons of mass destruction. During a speech on September the 12th, 1962 at Rice University, President John F. Kennedy spoke of not filling space with weapons of mass destruction. And then in another speech on October the 22nd, 1962, during a televised presentation about the Cuban Missile Crisis, Kennedy made reference to offensive weapons of sudden mass destruction. Presidents Reagan, Clinton, and Bush Sr., all of them used the phrase weapons of mass destruction. So when President Bush Jr. comes along and uses it, he didn't invent that phrase. So weapons of mass destruction, the phrase, has been around for a long time. Whether that weapon of mass destruction be a bomb that weighs many hundreds or even thousands of pounds, or it be something that is measured in micrograms, like ricin or anthrax, the biological weapons of mass destruction. Tonight, we may think that weapons of mass destruction is something far removed from us. But do you realize tonight that every single one of us possesses weapons of mass destruction? Every one of us. And I know some of you are saying, I don't own any guns. I don't have any bombs. Who said I had that stuff? You didn't. But every one of us possess weapons of mass destruction. It's our tongue. Did you realize that the average male tongue is 3.3 inches long and weighs 2.5 ounces? That's not a whole lot. The average lady's tongue is 3.1 inches long and weighs 2.1 ounces. So who has the bigger tongue? The guy, on average. And the weight of our tongue is only 0.1% on average our entire body weight. That's it, 0.1%. So when we stop and we think about our weapon of mass destruction, it could almost be measured in micrograms like the ricin and the anthrax. We have a very small but very deadly, very powerful weapon of mass destruction at our disposal each and every day, 24/7, 365. Tonight, as we consider gossip, our tongues can do so much damage. We can destroy nations. We can destroy people. We can destroy reputations. We can destroy homes. We can destroy businesses. We can destroy churches. We destroy ourselves just with the misuse of the tongue. As we consider gossip, maybe you say, well, I know it's wrong to gossip, but everybody gossips a little. I mean, you can't help it, right? Sometimes you get some really juicy information. You just got to share it. And I really tried hard not to, but boy, it just poink, and it was out. And I couldn't get it back. So, you know, I just had to continue with the details because I didn't want to leave somebody with inaccurate details. And after all, I did need to share a prayer request so people would know how to pray specifically. You know, we find ways to justify the usage of our weapon of mass destruction. And as we get into this series, we're going to be looking at tonight recognizing gossip. How do we recognize it? In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 8, this verse actually appears twice in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 18 and verse 8, the Bible says that the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Before we really start talking about gossip, we need to consider what this verse is telling us, because this is telling us how deadly, how dangerous, how harmful that gossip is. It's interesting that in this verse that the word wounds has a couple of different flavors of meaning. You've got this in your outline tonight. Your first bullet point there, the word wounds means to burn, to rankle, or to hurt. To burn, rankle, or hurt. The words of a gossip burn, they rankle, they hurt. They do not affect the exterior of an individual, but they go down to the depths of the belly, the Bible says. You know, in school days, we were taught a little sing-songy phrase to help us toughen up a little bit. And that sing-songy phrase went something like this: sticks and stones may break my bones. Finish it out. Isn't that the dumbest thing we ever told children? And wasn't that one of the dumbest things we were ever told? Words will never hurt me. That is stupid. Because the sticks and stones that break my bones will mend. The skin that is bleeding will heal. Yeah, there might be a scar, but after a time, it's not going to hurt anymore, and you kind of forget what that scar was. But some of us tonight, we carry the scar in our soul. We carry the wound in our heart from the things that have been said about us to other people, and they got back to us, or maybe it was said directly to us, and those words continue to sting to this day, even though we don't want them to. And we say, I know I have forgiven that individual, and yet something will just every once in a while trigger that reminder. And don't you just feel like somebody, you know, when you've gone to the doctor and you got some blood work done and they put a Band-Aid on and you got to take it off later in the day, and what that felt like? And so when you remember those words, it was like somebody just ripped that Band-Aid right back off of you all over again. Those words still hurt. Just ask the individual who had something written about them on a bathroom stall. Ask the individual that had something written about them through Facebook or Twitter, you know, the cyberbullying that goes on today. That stuff is out there, and people are hurt by it. Those words hurt, and they go down, the Bible says, to the depths of the belly. They go deep. But here's another meaning. Wounds, the second bullet point, to gulp, to swallow greedily. To gulp or swallow greedily. For years, Lay's potato chips brand has a slogan. Do you remember what it is? Bet you can't eat just one. Bet you can't eat just one. Gossip is like that. Hungry for dirt. We get that little juicy morsel. The gossiper to the gossipy. And we get that little nugget. It's like, ooh, got any more? Bet you can't eat just one. You know, it's like an addiction. It is like an addiction. Don't believe me? Explain to me why newspapers will have gossip columns. And that'll be one of the first things somebody wants to read. Why do they want to read comments? You try not to. But have you ever read an article online and you just kind of want to read the comments? And somebody writes something that is really scathing and just rips them apart. And then you know how it kind of it spirals out and it keeps going, and people are commenting on the comments and on the comments and on the comments, and it's like, make it stop. Why can't I quit clicking next, 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 next? Because I want to get more. You ever catch yourself doing that? And then you realize, it's like, why am I reading this? This is ridiculous. All it's doing is making me mad. Doesn't mean that you're writing anything on there, but we're reading it. And that's the way gossip is. We get hungry for more, and it goes down to the belly. Knowing how bad gossip is, Roman numeral number one, recognizing gossip. We better recognize it. How do we know if what we are saying is gossip? And by the way, maybe towards the end of the series, we're going to talk about good gossip. You say, there's such a thing as good gossip? Well, if there's bad gossip, there's got to be good gossip, right? You say, well, I thought all gossip was bad. We'll explain it. Just stick with me. I'm not even going to explain it tonight. So, in his book, Resisting Gossip, Matt Mitchell gives a definition that we're going to take apart. And as I said when I introduced this series last week, this is a book Pastor Fair had given me, and I'm kind of using it as a skeleton for the outline of it, just because he has some really good points. But what is gossip? Letter A. What is gossip? It's a three-part definition. Number one, bearing bad news. What is gossip? Starts out with bearing bad news. Letter A, there is the verbal side of this. There's the verbal side of this. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19, the verbal side of this. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. You know, it seems like some folks just can't help themselves. Their mouth overfloweth and nobody can find the shutoff valve. You know those individuals? They just can't quit talking. And the verbal side of this has taken on a new dimension in the age of social media and instant news. Bad news about somebody can spread across the globe thousands upon thousands of miles in split-second timing. That's how fast it can go. Consider, if you will, Proverbs chapter 10. Let's look at some verses here. Bearing bad news, the verbal side of this. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. And let's take the words to heart here. It says, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. The more verbal we are, the more verbiage we use, the better our chance is to sin. I mean, that's just a fact. The less that we find ourselves talking, or we weigh our words very, very carefully. Some of you have been around long enough, you remember Dal Jaquist. That was a man that weighed his words very, very carefully. It took him forever to say something. And those words just kind of, it was like, come on. And you felt yourself inside going, come on, you can do it. You can do it. I know. It just takes him so long to say a sentence. And I'm not being critical in the least a little bit. That was a good, godly man. He weighed his words very carefully. You could tell he was thinking through each word as he was speaking it. He is a man, and I'm not, by no means am I suggesting that he was perfect or anything like that, but that is a man I don't ever remember hearing talk about anybody. I don't ever remember, as one of our deacons, I don't ever remember him saying anything ugly, unkind, rash. It just wasn't there. He was just very careful in what he said. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And these are verses of scripture that you kind of walk away from. You go, ouch, ouch. Verse 5, it says this. Verse 3, chapter 5. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by what? A multitude of words. Let's look at chapter 10. Verses 13 and 14. It says, the beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness. The end of his talk is mischievous madness. A fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be and what shall be after him. Who can tell him? So, gossip, bearing bad news, the verbal side of this. Letter B, there is also then the listening side of it. The listening side of gossip. Proverbs 17, verse 4. When we think about gossip, we think about the verbal side. We think that the individual who gossiped, they're in the wrong. They sinned. Shame on them. And we're right. But shame on us for listening. Chapter 17, verse 4. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. They listen. You know one of the best ways to shut a gossip up? Refuse to listen. They start to say, you know what? I got to tell you about so-and-so. I don't want to hear it. Oh, but you need... Stop. Don't want to hear it. What would happen if, for those of you that are on Facebook or you've got Twitter accounts or any kind of social media, what would happen tonight if you unfriended every individual that ran their mouth or said things that were not necessary or improper? What would happen if you unfriended those individuals and quit reading them? What would happen if you quit subscribing to the blogs of the individuals that just want to... A blog is a short way to say blah, blah, blah. You know, that's they're blogging about something, blah, blah, blah. What would happen if you unfriended those? You say, well, I wouldn't have anybody to look at. Huh. So you'd have more time is what you're saying, right? For things that are of value, things that are important, things that won't get you into bearing bad news. Now, we have to, and we'll be talking about this in the weeks to come, there are times where bad news has to be told. But there is a way and there's a reason why and all that kind of stuff. We'll get to that in time. So, bearing bad news, number two, behind someone's back. Bearing bad news behind someone's back. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 20, and Paul says to this church, he says, "For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as you would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, and tumults." Backbitings and whisperings. He says it's stuff that happens behind somebody's back. They find it out through the grapevine. Things that people shouldn't have been talking about to begin with, but they were talking about it. And what is usually true about that which is said behind somebody's back is that it is wholly untrue or it has been misconstrued. Very, very seldom is what is said behind somebody's back 100% accurate. It's usually somehow tweaked, embellished, exaggerated, whatever word you want to use, but it's not true. You know, there's been times where somebody has said things about our own church, and it's like, you hear it, you know, the scuttlebutt. Somebody said something, and it's like, who said that? And they'll tell you who said it. I love that. I always love it when somebody gives up their source. And it's like, that is the farthest thing from the truth. Would you like to know the truth? And a lot of times people, they don't even want to know the truth because they've already got the bad seed implanted in their brain by the individual that talked behind somebody's back. And so you can explain all day till you're blue in the face. They're not that interested. So the dangers of it. And then number three, out of a bad heart. So it is bad news behind someone's back out of a bad heart. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. And we are given this warning, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So sinful gossip is bearing bad news behind someone's back out of a bad heart. There's your definition of it. So letter B, why do we gossip? Why do we do it? Number one, we've already talked about this just now, the heart isn't right. The heart isn't right. Go with me to Matthew chapter 15. Dr. Joe Stoll, he was former president of Moody Bible Institute. He said this, a very simple phrase. Might want to jot it down. It's true. It's easy to remember. He said, all talk is heart talk. All talk is heart talk. Where does he get it from? Matthew 15, verse 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. All talk is heart talk. And it says, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. We often say that we cannot know a person's heart. However, that's not entirely true. Whatever is in the heart will come out. It'll come out in the words. It'll come out in the actions. And it'll come out when their defenses are down. All of us, to some degree, are on our guard tonight. Why? Do you agree that we are? Okay, why? Okay, but why? Why are we on guard tonight? Okay, why else? Okay, but so what? Let's tell them we disagree with them. Why are we on guard? Because we're all guilty of it, okay? We're getting closer. We're getting warmer. Don't want people to know. Okay? Let me help you out. We're all at church. And we got to put our best foot forward because we're at church. And we have high expectations of each other because we're at church. Right? I mean, we wouldn't expect anybody to react to something. We should all be very holy and just, well, Jesus will take care of this. I'll pray for you, brother. I'll pray for you, sister. I'm there for you. Church, we put on a great spiritual front. We guard ourselves very carefully. And then we leave. And the real us comes out. Nobody has said anything to me. But in church, as a family or husband and wife, arms around each other, oh, sweetie, oh, honey, mwah, mwah, mwah. Get in the car. And then on Sunday mornings, we're but we pull into the church lot, and all of a sudden, it's like, got to throw the switch because we're at church. Hallelujah. Oh, isn't it good to be? Praise God, I'm in the house of the Lord. And all of a sudden we get real super spiritual, and then we're out the door again. We'll throw that switch back off. The real us comes out, doesn't it? Well, the heart isn't right when the real us comes out, and we find out what's really there. When we're under pressure, that's when you find out what's on the inside. You know, you get a nice batch of grapes. You know, and they look good on the vine, and you feel them, they're kind of firm. You don't get the goody out of it until you bite it, and the juice explodes in your mouth. You got to put some pressure there, right? How do you get the oil out of the ground? What has to happen? All that good coal has to be under pressure. You know, all those subterranean layers, got to put them under pressure to get that there. Whatever is deep down inside of us will come out when we're under pressure. The heart isn't right. If we are going to gossip, and sometimes it doesn't take a lot of pressure, or maybe we could say it doesn't take a lot of prodding to get information out of somebody, right? And, oh boy, yeah, boom! It's kind of like, you remember those Capri Suns, if you had little kids and you had to stab the little pouch kind of thing? And you remember when you stabbed the pouch and you weren't thinking real clearly and you had a little squeeze to it when you stabbed the pouch and you got it in the face? Yeah, sometimes it doesn't take a whole lot of squeezing on somebody to get out what's in the heart. So, why do we gossip? Because the heart isn't right. Number two, because we hunger for bad news. We hunger for bad news. Don't believe me? What are newspapers full of? Why do people read the court logs? Why is good news deemed uninteresting? And good news will be somewhere, you know, page, you know, section Z, page 582, you know. It's just buried so deep. But all the bad stuff, front page, because that's what's going to sell. We're hungry for bad news. We're no different when it comes to gossip. Turn to Proverbs chapter 6. The Lord tells us some things that He absolutely hates. They're an abomination to Him. In Proverbs chapter 6, the Bible tells us this, starting in verse 16. Oh, I'm in Psalms. Hang on a second. Sorry about that. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Feet that are swift in running to mischief, running to trouble, running to bad news. That's not a good thing for us to do, Christians. Now, as we close out tonight's message, let her see the who's who of gossips. Let's start naming names. Back when I was in high school, they had this book called Who's Who in American High School Students. One of your teachers, your guidance counselors, was supposed to nominate you for this book. And it was supposed to be such a grand honor. And it was a big deal when you was a kid to get your name in the who's who's in American high school students. I think it was a scam to get parents to buy a book. That's probably what it was. But it was a big deal back then. Who's in the who's who of gossips? Well, tonight we're going to let the scripture nominate us, and we'll see if we fit into any of these categories. Number one is the spy. The spy. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13. The spy. In Proverbs 11 and verse 13, it says, a talebearer revealeth secrets. The word talebearer, one of the meanings for that word is an informant. A governmental spy, a police informant, is somebody who knows things about other people and will go to tell somebody else what they know. The spy is somebody who can ferret out information out of another person fairly easily. They dig, they probe, they ask questions, they know how to get somebody talking, and they begin to get all the goodies out of the individual. You know anybody like that? That when you talk to him, you feel like you just got a probe. You know, it's like, I feel funny. I feel like somebody scanned me or something. And I didn't mean to say that. How'd they get that out of me? You know, it's like they should be working for the CIA or something. The spy. Why are they doing that? Well, here's the danger. They're doing it so they've got some dirt on you. Because they're not just keeping that to themselves. I'll promise you that. They're talebearers. They have ferreted out the information. They are the spies, the informants. All an informant needs is somebody to inform. That's all they need. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28. Let's notice the next one. This one really took me by surprise. I never thought about this one. Number two is the grumbler. The grumbler. You say, a grumbler and a gossip are the same? Take a look at this. I did not think of it like this. This is one of the things I learned when I was studying this. Proverbs 16, verse 28. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Okay, the whisperer, the gossip, the talebearer. The word whisperer in the Hebrew is nergan. And here's where this gets convicting. Go with me to Psalm 106. In Psalm 106, the Lord retells some of the sins of the nation of Israel. In Psalm 106, verses 24 and 25, the Lord says of the nation of Israel, yea, they despise the pleasant land, they believe not his word, but murmured in their tents. What they did was they whispered in their tents. Same Hebrew word for whisperers is used here. They murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. They gossiped against God. They gossiped against Moses. They gossiped against Aaron. They gossiped against Joshua. They got into their tents and... You believe they took us here? I can't believe they led us to this place. They don't care about us. What do you think? No, I'm... Did you ever think about gossiping and grumbling going hand in hand? I never did. But think about the last time that you complained or you grumbled to somebody about something or somebody else. were you not gossiping at the exact same time as you grumbled about somebody else? Huh. We're not supposed to do that, are we? And in fact, let's take a look at this, because verse 26 of Psalm 106, if you think it's not that big of a deal, verse 26, therefore he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness. Why? Because they murmured in their tents. They whispered and gossiped, complained in their tents. Number three is the backstabber. The backstabber. Psalm 41, if you would. Psalm 41, the backstabber. This takes the grumbler a step further. There is a sense of maliciousness and anger and hatred that accompanies this. In Psalm 41, verse 5, David says, mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? Verse 7, all that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. An evil disease, say they, cleaveth fast unto him. And now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more. Yea, my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. The backstabber. Gossip is its own evil and wickedness in itself. We saw at the beginning, it's hurtful right down to the belly. But here it takes it a step further. It doesn't have the boldness to confront somebody face to face. Let's go behind their back and vengefully stab them. Number four is the chameleon. A chameleon blends into its environment and reveals itself only when necessary. The same is true of the gossipy chameleon. Turn in your Bible, if you would, to Proverbs 29. Proverbs chapter 29. And look at verse 25. Chapter 29, verse 25. The Bible says that the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. You say, well, where do you get a chameleon out of this? Well, think about a chameleon. A chameleon blends in with his environment, and when it's necessary, reveals himself or changes to meet the next environment. The gossipy chameleon, nobody likes to be excluded. And so the gossipy chameleon just kind of blends in with a group that's talking. And then all of a sudden, at the very perfect moment, when the fly is on the vine, that chameleon reveals itself, shares its gossip, shares its news, what it's learned, and all of a sudden becomes the center of attention very, very quickly. Your last gossip is the busybody. Let's turn to the New Testament, 2 Thessalonians. The busybody. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Second Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. It says, for we hear that there are some among you, or which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. The busybody. This form of gossip comes out of boredom. They have nothing else better to do but run around listening for news and sharing what news they've gained. How can people spend so much time tweeting and on Facebook, commenting and sticking their 2 cents worth in on stuff? How can people gather on a daily basis around a table at a restaurant to solve all the world's problems and the latest news events? How can people get hooked on reading the gossip columns and watching the gossip shows and things like that? How can people cluck their tongues about the indiscreet things that people will talk about and yet go back and tell somebody else about it? Busybodies. They don't have enough to do, so they find ways to run their mouths. These five that are here, it's very easy to fall into any one of those. Very easy. Christians tonight, I think if we're honest, every single one of us has to say that if we are susceptible to one of them, we can probably pick one that we're the most susceptible to. Or we can at least see one or two in there that we have done. By knowing it, we need to put our guard up. We've got to be careful. We got to make sure that no corrupt communication comes out of our mouths, as the scripture says. And gossip is definitely corrupt communication. It is bearing bad news behind somebody's back out of a bad heart. When I introduced this series last week, I said that I was not preaching this because I'm trying to get to somebody through a side door kind of a thing and like, hope they're listening to this. I'm not doing this series of messages because I think that First Baptist Church, Bryan, Ohio, has a gossiping problem. All right? Please, don't walk out of here tonight and go, wonder who he was talking to. Wonder what that was all about. I'm just preaching on this because, like I said, I got to studying on this and reading that book, and boy, did it open up some areas that I'd never thought of before. And because we all possess a weapon of mass destruction. And sometimes we can hear the timer ticking on it, can't we? And it's a dangerous thing. And Christians, our tongues, we, by the power of the Holy Ghost filling us, controlling us, that is the only way that any control can be had over our tongue. The only way. And as believers in Christ, we have got to surrender our tongues. We've got to be very careful and be thoughtful before we talk. What am I saying? Why am I saying it? Is it necessary? Is it encouraging? Is it edifying? If it is something that has to be critical for a godly reason, is it being done in a godly way? And all these kinds of things. We have got to guard our tongues. It is amazing how quickly something can fly out of our mouths and you can't get it back. The story is told about a fellow that had gossiped and run down just some individuals, just terrible in a church, and came under conviction and realized I was wrong, and he went back and told the pastor. He says, Pastor, this is what I've done. And he says, I admit it. I confess it. It was sin. I'm so sorry. He says, what can I do to make this right? And the pastor told him, he says, I want you to go out and buy a couple of big, big feather pillows. Okay. So he goes out and he buys the feather pillows and he brings them back to the church. He says, well, okay, I bought the pillows. Now what? And they were in a mountainous area. And he says, I want you to take that feather pillow and I want you to go to the top of that mountain. He says, I want you to cut those pillows open and I want you to shake them feathers out all over the place. Okay. Thought, this is weird. So he does it, and he goes back and says, okay, Pastor, I did it. The pastor says, now, I want you to go back, and I want you to pick up every single one of those feathers. Could he do it? No. Because what's done is done. So rather than shaking the feathers out on across the mountaintop, we better keep them in the pillow. We better be very careful. Tonight, as I said, there are times bad news has to be shared. And if you're here tonight without Jesus Christ as Savior, bad news shared out of a good heart to your face, there's nothing wrong with that. And the good heart is a heart that loves you and cares about you, that will tell you the bad news, that if you're here without Jesus Christ as Savior, the Bible calls you a sinner. I'm not calling you a sinner. I have no right to call you a sinner. God calls you a sinner. The Bible says you're a sinner. The Bible says you're on your way to an eternity in hell. The Bible says that you're under God's condemnation, that the wrath of God abideth on you. But the Bible also says that Jesus loves you. The Bible says that Jesus took your sins, gossip included. He took your sins upon himself at Calvary's cross. And he shed his blood in perfect payment for your sins. He died on the cross. He rose from the grave. And that is the plan of salvation. It is a plan that you must believe. You have to repent and believe the gospel. You have to turn from whatever it is that you've been trusting to get you right with God, because you realize it's not getting you right with God. It's just getting you deeper and deeper and deeper into a spiritual hole. And repent of it tonight. Say, Jesus, you're the only way, the only truth, the only life. I call on you to save my soul. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight. That is bad news followed up with incredibly good news, because Jesus wants to save you, lost person. He doesn't want to have to tell you someday, depart from me, I never knew you, and you go into hell for eternity. He wants to save your soul. But you have to call on Jesus to be saved. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is who He said He is, and believe that He is the Savior, and call upon His name to be saved. Tonight, you say, I do believe that. What do I do? Can you pray from your heart, meaning it sincerely, from you to the Lord? Jesus, I am that sinner, and I know that I'm on my way to an eternal hell. But Jesus, I know you love me. I believe that. You showed it at Calvary. You died for me. Your blood covered all my sin. But I also believe that you arose from the grave and you're alive. And Lord, there is nobody else that can save my soul. I can't save my soul. A church can't save my soul. Nobody can do it for me. Jesus, only you can save me. And I need the gift of salvation that you offer tonight. Lord, I turn from the self-effort. I trust nothing, Lord, tonight, but you. And I call on your name. I call on you to save my soul tonight. Have you prayed something like that tonight? You say, I've never prayed that before, but I prayed it tonight and I meant that with all my heart. If you can honestly say that tonight, would you just slip your hand up? Amen. Then our Heavenly Father, tonight, we are so thankful, Lord, for that wonderful gift of salvation. And we are thankful, Lord, for the way that you save souls. And forgive us of our sin. And when you save our soul and you come into our hearts, you make a new creature out of us, Lord. And we sure do wrestle with the flesh. But we are thankful, Lord, for the conviction. Thankful, Lord, for all the times that you convict us of sin, even as we're getting ready to sin. You know what we're getting ready to do, and you start throwing up the warnings and the red flags, and so many times, Lord, we just race right past it. Forgive us, Lord, for doing that. Tonight, we ask, Lord, that as believers in Christ, that you might guard our tongues, that they would be speaking the things which be pleasing and honoring to you. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.